Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to another episode of Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Bless and Know It Ministry, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Google Plus. We're all across the World Wide Web reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I am your host, Rev J, and I'm excited, of course, that you guys have taken your time to tune in. So, if you've been following this 7-week series, you know that Couch Conversations fall kickoff has been on guilt and shame. And we've tried to tackle this issue from the three important or the three main sides of, you know, human existence. We try to tackle the emotional side of guilt and shame. We try to deal with the mental side of guilt and shame. Then we dealt with the spiritual side of guilt and shame. And tonight we're going to put a cap on all of that, wrap it up, put a bow on it, and, you know, send the episodes on their way. We in no way figure that this is the end of this great topic because of the dialogue that's gone back and forth, because of the post-sharing and the re-sharing, the inboxes, the DMs, the website visits. We know this is still a very hot topic. It's a very real topic. It's a very necessary topic. And so it is our plan not to to continue to address this in our podcast, but as you stay tuned to the website, we're actually going to start a new web series. Yay! We're going to launch a new classroom series on guilt and shame, and the participants will get certificates afterward. And because here's the thing, we don't want to just give you information overload. We want to give you information that you can apply application to. So that means you can make it applicable to your life. So if you're going through something wherever you are, and guilt and shame are two emotional bags that you're carrying with you, the information we've given you has been solid, it has been true, it has been factual. But now you may need some help with the application. How do I let it go? How do I move forward? How do I, you know, just admit that this is what it is and that I've been carrying this for so long? How do I do that? And so we are starting that new web series. And as you stay tuned to the Facebook page, as you follow us on all forms of social media, we're definitely going to hype up the web series, because we definitely want those of us who need additional support to be able to get that. And so it would be in your best interest to send your friend and them, not just you, but send your friend and them over to our website, BakiMinistries.com, BakiMinistries.com. Send them over there, because next week is the launch date of our new series on guilt and shame, and we are making the information applicable and hands-on, and there'll be studies and there'll be videos and just a little more in-depth, and again, it will end in the certificate ceremony. So if you are interested, or you know someone who should be interested but they haven't yet signed up, you know, do it together. The buddy system and accountability works really well. So when I said we try to work with the whole person, the emotional side, the mental side, and the spiritual side of guilt and shame, I really meant that. Because just because something's an emotional bag, should that be dealt with in a spiritual way? Absolutely. And so my spiritual background is that of Christian nature. I'm also, you know, very open to listen to other spiritual practices. But as for me, myself, having the Christian background, being licensed and ordained under Christianity, I definitely, you know, feel that a lot of spiritual application when dealing with emotional baggage is very necessary. What do you mean? I mean pray. I mean certain things you might have to call on some heavenly host for, certain things you may have to declare and decree over your life. Why? Because words have power. That's how the world was created, according to Genesis, with words. The same was in the beginning. So if it worked in the beginning, I'm pretty sure it can work in the here and now. Because if it wasn't so, why would you have been given that blueprint for it? So even though emotional baggage wears on people, I definitely agree with praying about it. I definitely agree with meditating on the word. I definitely agree with replacing negative thought patterns. I definitely agree with that. I think all of those are spiritual applications. I also agree with taking care of yourself and self-healing and self-reflecting. I think there's a lot of stuff that in human nature we can do that we don't have to be like, oh, God, oh, Jesus, oh, God, you know, calling for divine help for things that's in our human nature to handle. And so I definitely want to make sure that I've made that clear that I am all for prayer and blessed to know it is all for prayer and to release things on a spiritual level. With that said, though, things that are humanly possible, like within your power to do, you don't have to call and ask for divine strength to do those things. Just my personal belief, you and God may have something different, but as far as I know, if it's in human power, he's given us the ability to will and to do, then we need to be doing. Faith walk requires the movement of your legs as well as having faith. Just saying. Now, we also said that guilt and shame may have a mental side to that. There may be not just, you know, some spiritual strongholds and effects, but there may be some mental things going on because whatever happened to you was traumatic. And once you start dealing with trauma and post-traumatic stress and things of that nature, you know, things that science can label because they're actual and there's evidence to go with it, things that are clinical that a doctor can, you know, help you work through or assist you in seeing in a different light, those things need to be handled by mental professionals, people who are caring and supportive and will walk with you and beside you as you make the journey. But I want to remind you that most people in those fields, you kind of have to have wisdom and discernment. You can't really go to anybody. But that's the deepest I want to go right now. If there's something mental going on, dealing with the guilt and the shame and emotional baggage of that, there is nothing wrong with seeking mental help. There is nothing wrong with getting assistance for the trauma that you've been through, that humanly, you know, you tried to deal with it, you've done the best you can with what you had, and spiritually you have prayed about it, you fasted about it, you turned down, you prayed, you studied, you did those things. It may have some mental issues, like there may be some mental things going on. Please get all the mental supports that you need in place. And for some people, that could be some cognitive therapy. For other people, it may be some inpatient treatment. Your guilt and shame may have led you to some addiction issues that really just need to be unwrapped, unwound, and really dealt with on a mental level. There's nothing wrong with, in no way does life coaching and podcasts or radio shows, are we ever meant to replace the doctors? Like, yes, this is professional. Yes, we've got the hours in. Yes, we have the certificates to say we can do up to this point. But if in your heart and in your life you know that you need something beyond this point right here, and that this has been great at, you know, getting you to look at a situation differently, but now that the wound is open or now that something's exposed or now that, you know, you're really wrestling with this, you need some additional support, we encourage, implore, wish, and desire for you to get that mental help. And I don't know how in certain communities this has been seen as such a negative thing, but there is such a thing as being too strong for too long, and it eats away at you, and it doesn't have to. Because here's the thing, if our line, our motto is life is worth living and living out loud, then you need to be free to do that. And if you're in bondage spiritually, mentally, or emotionally because of trauma and stress or addiction or whatever guilt and shame negatively has led you to, then please get the additional support. There is nothing wrong with asking for help. And it's so often that people who are willing to give and give and give help to others will not ask for the help that they need for themselves, will not take time for themselves, and then will feel guilty about asking or, you know, or yeah, just feel guilty about being a person who needs help. But, honey, if you have sown all this help into other people, and if you've been rock solid for so many other people, it is time, reciprocity, for others to be there for you. Do you, like, okay, so I'm trying to make this as plain and as simple as possible so those people, those of us who need additional support will seek that out. And it's not that hard. You can start with a Google search, and then you can really, like, look at the list and marinate over it, and then ask a couple of people for references, and then, you know, kind of scope these places out and go get the help you need. And that's something that can happen within 2 to 3 days. You could be getting the help you really need so that the cares of this life that were once weighing you down, affecting your weight, your stress, your sleep patterns, are now something that you are letting go of piece by piece by piece. And that is great. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we want. Because if we're saying that life is worth living, that requires you to be alive, and then living out loud, it's kind of hard to do that if you're bound and stuck or you're going through all the time. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So just wanted to make sure we put that out there, that we fully explained, you know, the goal of guilt and shame, or exploring guilt and shame on couch conversations. Also wanted to remind you guys, I think we kind of alluded to it last week, but to definitely remind you that not only will Couch Conversations be on Blog Talk Radio, not only will Couch Conversations be available on SoundCloud, not only are episodes available on our website, but now, wow, that was kind of cool, but also Couch Conversations, starting November the 1st, will be on newfaceradio.com. So we are live on newfaceradio.com Wednesdays at 11 a.m. And so their news is N-U-U. So it's N-U-U-F-A-I-T-H-R-A-D-I-O.com. So we really encourage you to tune in then for the Couch Conversations that will be broadcasted, and then our new, the series after Guilt and Shame, we'll also kick that off November 1st on Blog Talk Radio, and in the meantime, between time, we're still available on SoundCloud. So that means there's really no excuse for you to go without hearing from us, and there's no excuse for us to go without hearing from you, because we have 360-plus episodes on Blog Talk Radio. I believe we have about 20 episodes on SoundCloud, and now we'll be live every Wednesday on New Faith Radio. Again, we are all a World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. Excited, yes, about growth, excited about change, excited about expansion, and, you know, the possibilities that brings. So if you're not listening regularly, you definitely want to, because you could be missing something important, because here we grow again, and who knows what this is going to grow into. So, y'all stay tuned and keep tuning in. So, let's just start off the recap of guilt. So, we define guilt as an emotion that comes up from thoughts of the hurt and pain that one causes others and themselves. It can take a toll on you and eventually weigh you down. Guilt can also keep you from engaging in certain activities and making wise decisions. It is important for you to identify the sources of guilt in your life. Okay? That was guilt. Then we define shame. Shame, on the other hand, who am I? It's a fundamental belief about myself, such as not being good enough or smart enough or worthy enough. Because it's about who I am, I cannot change it, learn from it, or improve myself. I'm stuck with this lack or inadequacy about myself. Now, we know that's not true. We know that we were never created to be stuck, and anything that appears to have us stuck has got to go. It has got to cease, because, again, life is worth living. In order to be living, you kind of have to be, you know, not just breathing and existing, but actually doing and engaging and and, you know, actively going towards a goal. That's, you know, our definition of living. And to live out loud is to live with purpose and determination and to walk it out and walk your talk out and talk your walk out and all that stuff is in there. So what happens in life is, we'll take it from a spiritual angle. There are just certain things that are just set up as snares that will try to impede us along this walk because we're striving to get to a certain place. And as we strive to reach that higher altitude, I engaged in this behavior. And one of the other things that, you know, we constantly try to remind people that we are not our behaviors. Yes, you have the behavior. Yes, the behavior is a thing, but that thing is not you. And that's kind of what people get messed up with, the guilt and shame. So just because I did something doesn't mean I am something. So when I was, maybe 8 years old, I was at the store. I wanted a pack of Tic Tacs. I didn't have the money for the Tic Tacs, so I stole the Tic Tacs. When my grandmother found out about it, I had to return the Tic Tacs to the store and make an apology. And it was embarrassing. It was shameful. Like, oh, my gosh, why did I do it? And so a person who steals is called a thief, right? So the act is thievery. So I committed the act. Did I strive to commit the act? And at that moment, yeah, because I wanted what I wanted and I didn't have the money to get it, to make the exchange. And, okay, was I guilty of that? Yes. Yes, I was. Was the punishment eternal damnation? No, it was not. Was the punishment eternal shame? No, it was not. Was there a lesson in that? Yes. And thank God I was raised under a woman of wisdom who helped me see the lesson in that. Now, as someone who owns a business, I see it a totally different way. Point of the story is that because I did that then, when I was 8, so that's what, 31 years ago, one could be like, you are such a thief. You are just a thief. You're someone who steals is a thief, and because you stole when you were 8, you're a thief. And so I can hold my head down and feel some sort of way like, yes, I did that. But here's the thing. The punishment for that was, one, to return the item, two, to ask forgiveness for, three, to, you know, kind of explain and talk out the situation, and then I wasn't allowed to go to the store. So the punishment that I had fit the crime that I committed. So when I did that at 8, and then I got the lesson behind the punishment, I got it. It clicked. It did not lead me. It was not that gateway crime. It did not lead me down this whole road. And now I'm out here stealing, and all of a sudden I have kleptomania. I don't even know that I'm stealing. You know, it didn't do any of that. That was not a gateway crime. And therefore, I do not have to hold on to the guilt of committing that act because that was a behavior. That was not me. I committed the behavior, but it wasn't me, who I really am. Nor do I have to, you know, still wear that shame as a brand, as a part of me. It's not ingrained into my skin and keloided over or scarred over. So forever I can look at it and be like, oh, that's who you were. That means that's who you are. No, I did that. It was absolutely wrong at the time. At the time, I didn't know it was wrong. And then I was held accountable for what I chose to do, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Am I a thief? No. Did I have that moment of thievery? Yes. Am I making this plain? I just want to make sure, because you can be like, oh, you were 8, you didn't know any better. Yeah, I knew. I know. Like, I have a toddler right now. And she knows, if mommy or daddy says no, that's no. She will look at us while she's doing the very thing that we've asked her, told her, and explained to her not to do. Will she still do it? Absolutely. Is she a bad child? Absolutely not. Why not? One, she's testing us out. She's filling us out. But she's one. Let's start there. She's not two. She's one. And so why are we taking the time to explain to her at one? Because it sets the precedent for later conversations. We can always talk about your choices. We can always talk about your behavior. And you need to understand that if you do this, this is the consequence that's going to come from it. So now, if she continues to do the same behavior when she's 4, she knows what to expect. Oh, they're going to tell me because I knew, yada, yada, yada. So she knows what to expect. If she continues to do the same behavior when she's 13 or 14 or 15, then we're going to have more serious consequences for that which should deter the behavior. What, does she now at one understand, oh, I was wrong, I'm sorry? She says the right stuff most of the time. I'm sorry. Okay, because you've heard us say that's what you should say. But she has to come to that knowledge for herself that her action was wrong. It may take us saying it another 317 times, but because we're her parents, we're vested in her growth emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So we're vested enough to say it another 300 and some plus times just to make sure that she gets it here. A lot of people, as it appears, don't have people in their life that hold them accountable. Somewhere along the line, because our children start to look grown, they're still children. They still need someone to hold them accountable. They still need to know, okay, if you're guilty of something, these are the steps that we have to take to rectify that. We don't just keep letting it continue, because if you let the small stuff continue, it will grow. Remember, we've talked about the ivy. I want to say it was last week, yeah. We've talked about ivy before, how it's one of those nasty weeds that if you let it stay around, it will take over a whole entire yard. Do it and it has no, it doesn't feel any sort of way about choking out your grass or your flower bed or the things that you want to see in your yard. It just continues to grow. And that's the same way with negative behavior, bad choices, yada, yada. It's the same thing. If you let the little stuff fly, it will only get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you have to still go back to the original root of the situation. Well, why did you do this? Okay, well, let's. How do we handle this? How do we address the why? And that's also part of trauma-informed care. When you're dealing with people, like, oh, why did you do that? No, what happened to you that you thought this behavior is okay? Like, where did you detour off of the road? Okay, let's get back to that part where you first detoured, and now you're on this highway. How do we get you back to that highway? Okay, so we got to go around here. We got to go up here. We got to go under this bridge. We got to go over that river. And you need people in your life who are vested to take that long walk with you, because for some of us, we don't get it at 8. Some of us, we don't get it at 18. Some of us may not even get it till we're 80. But if we do not have people vested in us or with us to walk with us till we get it, then you know what? That's another reason our wonderful society is in the condition it's in, because a lot of people have that you can't tell me nothing attitude. Okay, don't judge me. Okay, you're sitting here living, that's another reason why we started, you're sitting here living by choice with guilt and shame. This is not a mental issue for you. This is not a spiritual issue for you. This is nothing spooky for you. This is something you have chosen to live with and to wear it as a badge of honor, and then you allow that guilt and shame to be the reason that you have the addictions that you have, why you make, why you're promiscuous as you are, why you keep trying to fill these emotional voids in your life, because you won't go back to the root of the system. What really happened to you? You're not. You won't even talk about that. You won't even mention that. But you will deflect to someone else. You'll deflect to a later point in your life. But I promise you, until you deal with the root issue, you won't continue to have unnecessary issues. And being emotionally bound to guilt and shame is an unnecessary issue. We'll discuss, I mean, you can take the course, and I strongly encourage you to do that. But for real, let's be real about some situations. A lot of people out here, they wear guilt and shame as a badge of honor or as a cover-up. You know, sometimes I just don't understand why people do it. So I'm not going to keep speculating as to the why, but they wear that, and then they use that as an excuse. You don't know my story. You don't understand. You're right, because you don't even know your story. You are so bound and wrapped up under guilt and shame for something that happened, again, back in 1840, dagnabbit Columbus was sailing the ocean blue, and you sit up here wrapped up in guilt and shame from 1840. He got a holiday, and what do you have? I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to go on a tangent. I don't want to beat anyone up emotionally. But at the same time, I'm doing this so you can think beyond this moment right here. Where has guilt and shame, or you allowing guilt and shame to be in your life, robbed you of opportunities? Why are you so strung out on the past that you're missing the present? you so bombarded by who left you, why they left you, where they left you, that you don't even see what has grown in around you, who has come into your life, who has left your life, who is around you now, who could actually support you if you allowed them to. But I've got so much guilt and I've got so much shame. I can't allow anyone to get close to me. I'm just going to guard myself forever, and I'm going to be wrapped up into this castle of emotional bondage. But what? What is the benefit? What are you gaining from this? Because if it's not giving you a gain, then it's giving you a loss. And you are losing out on this gift called life. Like, for real, you have a dash. That's all. We all have this dash. One day there's going to be a headstone. It's going to have your name on it. It's going to have a birth date year. It's going to have an end year. And in the middle is that dash. And you're doing your dash a disservice if you're not living loud, if you're not living up to your potential, if you're not living up to your worth, if you continue to stay on this road of guilt and shame and hold on to stuff that you don't need to hold on to, or either be bound by stuff that you don't even need to be bound to. You are not even the perpetrator in the situation, and you are allowing that situation to happen back then to negatively encapsulate you, imprison you, and hold you now in this whole other lifestyle when you could make a choice to renew your mind, to break free, to be free, to seek out the support you need. Maybe it is a doctor. Maybe it is a priest. Maybe it is a life coach. But whatever it is, you've got to seek that out. Maybe it's something only God himself can come from the heavens and deliver unto you. Well, honey, fall on the altar and don't get up until it happens, okay? Because if it's really that deep and that mysterious that only God himself can handle it, then please give it to God and let him handle it. Because right now you are robbing the other people in your life who care enough about you to be vested in you. You're robbing them of your true self. You're robbing yourself of your true self. You're robbing your future of your truth. I mean, it's deep. Like, let's talk, we're talking about thievery. You're the thief. When you are bound up and wrapped up and walking around like a living, breathing mummy, we don't know what you look like. We don't know what you feel. We don't know where you really are emotionally. How can we trust you, depend on you, lean on you, support you to support yourself? How can any of that happen? I just feel guilty. You don't understand. Okay, you know what? Without being too vulnerable or putting myself out there, guilt, shame, these are normal human experiences. We've all done things that we can sit here and, you know, really look at like, I'm guilty of that. You know, and it may be deeper than stealing a pack of Tic Tacs. It may go deeper. It may go to some criminal activity. You might have really messed up with some folks. But this is what I know. And I know that I know it because I've lived it. That if you do, whatever you dwell on in your life, that's what you're going to get more of. So if I'm dwelling on the guilt and shame that I'm carrying from something I did, not even 1840, you know, I was being dramatic, but if something I did in 2000, and I'm holding on to it, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. Guess what's going to happen? That worry, that anxiety, that stress is going to start eating away at me. And maybe I'm not telling other people that I'm, you know, that I feel guilty about something that happened in 2000. Maybe, you know, I'm just keeping all that internal. What does that do to my insides? What happens when those chemicals are released in my body to me? What do you think happens to that? Because for every action, there's opposite and equal reaction. So if I'm constantly eating bitterness, so I'm constantly eating and chewing and mulling over negativity, what happens inside of me? Let's not even look at the mental part. Let's not even look at your heart. Don't look at your brain. What do you think about them other organs in your body? What do you think is really happening to them? What's going on with your stem cells? What's going on with your T cells? What's going on with your white cells? What's going on there? Oh, you are sending your whole body into a state of dysfunction. And where there is dysfunction in your body, dis-ease will follow. What? What do you mean? Scientifically, you can't prove it. Absolutely can. What happens to your body when it's overstressed and overworked and burdened? Why do they call stress a silent killer? What happens? Does stress show up on an EKG? No. Does stress show up in an MRI? No. Does stress weaken your immune system? Yes. Your immune system, the one that fights off diseases and viruses and stuff. Does stress show up in your bloodstream? No. Or does it really? Your body is not meant to be stressed constantly in a state of stress, because stress, the state of tension that is created when a person responds to demands and pressures that come from work, family, and other external sources, as well as those that are internally generated from self-imposed demands, obligations, and criticisms, that definition of stress right there is why stress is a silent killer. Because you've made up in your mind that you need to be in a certain place at a certain time in your life. And because you're not at this certain place at a certain time, you're not living this certain lifestyle, you don't have this degree, that degree, or the other. So now you feel that you have failed, you are a failure, you're on this negative road. And instead of taking that fuel and turning it into something positive, because it is energy, so you have the ability to manipulate the direction that it goes, instead of sending it on a positive path to push you towards achieving those goals in a very similar time manner. Now, you're going to sit here and continue to chew on that. So now you develop these negative habits. Oh, my gosh, now with the negative habits, when you take it to a doctor, they're going to say, oh, that's a disorder. That's obsessive compulsive. Oh, no, that's anorexia. Oh, no, that's bulimia. Oh, no, honey, that's stress. And stress, as we have defined it, comes from internally generated, self-imposed, so internal, that's not the world around you, that's the world inside of you, self-imposed, no one else is inflicting this on you, this is what you have made up in your mind about yourself, so self-imposed demands, obligations, and self-criticism. So here's the thing, if self is criticizing, self is imposing these demands and obligations, and they are internally generated. That is the great news. Great, absolutely wonderful. Why is it great, absolutely wonderful? Because that means the one person that can control it is not way up in the atmosphere, does not have to come down from heaven on a cloud to attend to it. It does not. It means someone with a PhD, an MD, 42 years in medical training does not have to address it. It means that the person in them is the same person who can start to make the changes necessary to deal with it in the here and now in their life. Now, that may mean in order to deal with it, you do need that medical person, or you do need that psychiatric person, or you do need additional support. And we're not knocking that. What we are saying is that stress, the silent killer, killers, death, dying, dead, no more, in this form, in this existence, we are saying those things can happen when you have emotional baggage that's not dealt with. So why hold on to it any longer? Why not let it go? But why not? It is serving you no purpose. It is not making you stronger. It's not like carrying emotional baggage. It's like, this is how it doesn't make you stronger. Let me put it like this. So if I start working out, again, for the 4 millionth time this year. But if I start working out and I'm lifting 10-pound weight, and, you know, at first the 10-pound weights are giving me some resistance, after a month of doing the same 10-pound weight, what happens? There is no resistance because I've grown accustomed to it. I've built up the muscular fortitude to continue on that, and therefore it's no longer stretching me. It's just me going through the motions. The same thing with emotional baggage. You're not getting emotionally stronger by holding on to the same emotional baggage. No, what you're doing is getting physically weaker, visibly weaker. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I'm not picking on anyone, but this is what I want you to do. I want you, because if you don't believe this is true, just look at this. Great analogy. Good job. Okay. Look at some pictures of the president, the former United States of America president, when they started their term, and look at their pictures when they end their term in office. So let's take President Bush. So we're looking at, let's go with the first one, George Herbert Walker Bush. And we look at his picture when he first became president. So the 41st president of the United States, when he first got into office, his skin was tighter, his hair was not as gray, didn't seem to have too many additional, you know, medical issues in 1989. He didn't have too many medical issues in 1989. Then we look at him in 1993 when he leaves out of office. Whole countenance, the whole thing. Like the lines are deeper in his face. The wrinkles are more pronounced. The hair is definitely grayer. There are just certain things that Photoshop does not fit. You can see it. Okay, don't want to look at George Bush? No problem. Let's look at President Clinton. Really look at Hillary too, but that's a whole other thing. But look at President Clinton, the 42nd president of the United States. Look at his pictures from 1993 and look at him in 2001. Big difference. And I don't say that the office of the President of the United States is a stressless position. I don't say it's an easy position. So we can agree on that, that there were some issues and there were some stresses through these presidencies that happened to them that changed their entire countenance, that changed their hair. It changed their structure. It changed how they look physically. Like his eyes are droopier. His hair is gray. Again, the lines, the wrinkle lines. I'm running for president my first term compared to I'm running for president my second term. I'm leaving office. It's a visible change. And it's something tangible you can Google, you can look up, and you can think. If that's happening to them on this scale because of the stuff that they're dealing with, what do you think is happening to you? And, again, I don't know the medical issues behind these people. I don't know their diagnosis. I don't know if they have therapists or priests or whoever they have in their life. What I am saying is just look at the pictures of their face and look at what their eyes are saying and look at their actual countenance. The same thing is happening to you because of the stress a lot of it self-imposed, because of the unnecessary emotional baggage that you have in your life. It's time to really be real about what's going on. This being Domestic Violence Awareness Month, there are some things that happen when you're a victim of domestic violence, emotional, physical, sexual. There are some things that happen to you, and you know, once certain traumas happen to you, you're not going to be the same person. And it's okay to start to create the new you and the new norm for you. You may not be the same person you were. Does not mean you're not a great person. Does not mean that life can't be great again. It just means it's going to be different. And there's nothing wrong with being different. I think sometimes we go through stuff and we want to have that bounce back and bounce back and bounce back. It doesn't always happen like that. You know, you can kind of equate that to rubber bands. Rubber bands are supposed to stretch and they're supposed to adapt and they're supposed to, you know, contain what they're wrapped around. But if you leave a rubber band on something long enough, when you take it off, it has changed shape. Does it mean it's no longer a rubber band? No. It just means that it doesn't stretch the way it used to. It's still a rubber band. It still may be functional. It's just not what it used to be. And so I think sometimes we get discouraged along the way in this gift called life because we're not who we used to be. We don't look the way we used to, or we don't act the way we used to. You're not supposed to. Like, I'm not sure who came up with this, but 40 is the new 20, and you need to look 20. You need to have this and that and the other. But I don't want 40, for me, to be the new 20. I want 40 to be a good old 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be 20 again. That was some of the most interesting, active, and unwise choices of my life was in my 20s. And some good choices as well. But I don't want to be 20. I don't want to have 20-year-old wisdom. I don't want that. Like, this 39-year-old wisdom is doing me well at 39, and I appreciate, you know, the ups and downs, the good choices and the bad choices, because one thing has constantly led to another, which has constantly led to another, and if it was not for the first leading to the second, I might not have enjoyed the second as much, or I might not have appreciated it the same way. And so I don't want to do, but for me, I do not want to do my dash a disservice. I want my dash to really be an exclamation point, you know. So if I'm, so generations from now, when I look at the picture of my headstone, or when they come to visit, or whatever, you know, their new generations from now, it's like, my gosh, she doesn't have a regular dad. She has an exclamation point. I wonder why that is. And maybe somebody will look it up on whatever system and be like, oh, my gosh, because she lived that thing. She walked out her life. She found out that she was supposed to use her mouth for something positive, and that's exactly what she did. She did podcasts. She did radio shows. She did live experiences. She was in person talking to people. She was sitting down in counseling rooms talking to people. She cried with people. She walked with people. She prayed with people. She meditated with people. She was there with you. Oh, my gosh, that's why her dash is an exclamation point, because she did that. That's what I want people to say about me, you know, like, so if I'm not here, you know, I definitely want that to be said about me. She did that, you know what I'm saying? And when I say she did, she lived life. Yeah, there were some ups and there were some downs. And like, oh, everything's not a pretty rosy picture, right? Everything's not peachy. Everything was not peaches and cream. But, boy, she did that. She lived that life. She said life is worth living and living out loud. And she did that. Like, it took her a while to get there. Boy, she didn't really catch that in her 20s. But she did. When she caught it, she did that. And I want she did that to be one of integrity. I want to be one of future generations will be proud to say, you know what, she's in our bloodline. I want my great, 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 like, to the 5th, 6th, and 7th power to be like, wow, do y'all know I'm kin to? The same blood that ran through her veins is now a part of me, so I have no choice but to succeed, because I'm setting that precedent now with my life, with my children's life, with the people I come in contact with. This is a gift. And to show my appreciation for the gift of life, I am choosing to live my life. I'm choosing not to just exist, but to go through. And granted, right now I'm on one of the wildest emotional roller coasters. And so I may start off here and I may take this loop and I may take this curve and I may be sad and happy and joyous all within the same every hour period. But guess what? I'm doing what I have to do to get to the next level. I know that this is not my final destination. This may look like the valley of a shadow of death, but this is not my final destination. Like, it's not. Like, there's so many greater things and bigger things and better things that I've mapped out that have been promised to me that, you know, I foresee coming down the pipeline that I can't get stagnant now. But who does that serve for me to get stagnant and or stuck or even to retrace back all the negative stuff I've ever done? There's plenty of it. I'm sure we can build a whole army of people from the skeletons in my closet alone. But I can't dwell on it. I can't stay there. It does not serve me well to sit here and play with my skeleton bones when I have purpose and destiny beside me, when I have grace and mercy going before me, when I have goodness and mercy all around me, when I have opportunities coming towards me at rapid speed. I've got to be ready to go. I can't be walking in the slow lane and opportunities like, hey, yay, we're here. We're about to leave. The next person either get on the train or get left behind. It does not serve me to be stagnant. It's a disservice to my dash to allow the negativity, the disparity, the heartache of making all of the bad choices I've made in life to just continue to dwell on them and to not acknowledge the good, to not acknowledge the great, not acknowledge the purpose and the gift that I've been given. So it's really a choice. As much as it's a choice for me to daily do it, it's a choice for you as well. We can sit here and keep talking guilt and shame and woe with me and act like Eeyores and this gift of life, but we are called to something higher and better, and that will give us the freedom to fully move forward and to live this gift out loud. So if you want to be on this journey, continue to plug into us on social media, Facebook, Google+, Instagram. We're across the World Wide Web, and we're on our own website. We're going to be on New Faith Radio. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're here to support you where you are right now in hopes that you will join us in living life out loud. Okay? Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Couch Conversations, hosted by yours truly, Rev J. I look forward to speaking to you guys in 2 weeks on New Faith Radio and then back on Blog Talk Radio in 2 weeks as well. Next week we'll be on SoundCloud. But again, if you're following us on social media, you already know that. Stay connected, as always. May you walk in peace. May the God of peace go with you, before you, and camp about you. Y'all have a good one. Until next time, bye-bye.